So I'm Bill Staples. I'm the group program manager for the IIS team. I've been actually doing this job for about a year now, so I've been working on IIS for a long time. And before I came and worked on IIS, I was an IIS customer. So
wow.
I know the product pretty well.
IIS is Internet Information Services, which is the web server that runs on Microsoft.
That's a great summary, yep.
And it runs on a lot of websites, doesn't it?
It does, yep. It's Microsoft's web server, so wherever Windows is on the Internet or intranet, IIS is there also.
So what's your everyday job? What do you do on the IIS team? What is a group program manager?
I manage,
take credit for everybody else's work, right?
Exactly. Anytime we build a cool feature, it's all my... Actually, I manage the program manager team for IIS. So the program managers are responsible for the spec of all of our new features, design spec. We also do a lot of the customer interactions. So we hold customer labs, we do presentations. In fact, I'll be doing a presentation at PDC in about a month.
Awesome.
Where I'll be showing off IIS 7 and a lot of the cool new features we're shipping there. Also, we are responsible for kind of driving the overall project and schedule and doing that kind of work.
Right. So. Are you working on the Atlas project at all?
I'm not. We're focused on IIS 7 shipping in the Longhorn timeframe.
Okay.
We've got another team that's also working on WIDBI sort of and Atlas at the same time. So.
Got it. Are you going to show me a demo?
I'd love to show you demos. I've got some PDC spoilers.
I've heard so much about IIS 7, and I was at the dev lab where customers actually were seeing it. They were coming out in the hall going, man, that is so cool.
It is. It's amazing. This is the biggest release of IIS we've ever done. And I can say that both from the customer perspective. There are so many new features that customers, I think, are going to be amazed about it. The customers we've talked to so far are really floored. But also, from an internal perspective, we've really revamped so many of the major subsystems of IIS that it's a major release for us, and we're really excited about it. So I can show you lots of cool things if you're interested.
First, since we're getting into demos, security.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, I read a web blog, and I still get the question, whenever I talk about IIS, and I still get people saying, oh, it's not secure.
Security
can be attacked or whatever. What do you say to those people?
It's interesting. IIS is kind of a lightning rod for security. Whenever people think security and Microsoft, IIS is one of the top products that comes to mind. I think that's a result of the devastating impact that Code-RED and NIMDA had on IIS customers back in 2001. We were sort of the first, we were the poster child for, you know, broad-scale mass internet worm attacks. To be honest with you, that was a devastating experience for our customers and for the IIS team. I was working on IIS at the time. And
so did you get called into some of the crisis rooms?
Oh, yeah. It was a very challenging experience for our customers as well as inside IIS. And so I can definitely empathize with customers who were struck by that and had to pay lots and lots of money lots of hours and time to get over that.
Yeah.
The good news is, out of that, we learned a lot of important lessons about security on the internet. And I think the proof of that is really seen through the results over the last couple of years. We came out of that experience, we shipped lockdown tools and best practices and put as many hot fixes and roll-up fixes we could for existing platforms, IIS4 and IIS5. And then we really turned on IIS6 and said, what can we do to make sure this never, ever happens again? And we've spent almost an entire year just working on security with IIS6 and making sure it was as bulletproof as possible. The results, I think, speak for themselves. Since we shipped IIS6 2.5 years ago, we haven't had a single critical security fix.
Not a single one?
Not a single one in the core web server.
Okay.
If you go up to like Secundia or Anti-Bug Track, and look under IIS and security bulletins,
You'll
find, I think, two that come up typically.
Yeah.
They're related to the web server. One of them is a cross-site scripting bug that was found in the administration tool that ships with Windows. It's not a part of the IIS 6 product, which is why I don't include it as part of the core web server, but it is definitely a web server-related vulnerability. It was a simple cross-site scripting issue. The other one was a denial of service that came in through the web dev component that also ships in Windows. Yeah. Again, not a part of our IIS6 project, although it's definitely important for customers to get patched on that. But two compared to If you go look at any of the competitive web servers out there in the last 2.5 years, there's a lot more security issues out there for competitive platforms than for IIS. So the numbers, I think, are starting to speak for themselves. And if you read some of the latest PR around security and IIS, you actually find quite a good number of mentions of kudos on IIS6 security. I think perception is really starting to turn around. So hope to continue that with IIS7. Make sure that it's also rock solid and secure. And
it went through. Scott Guthrie told me it went through 8,000 security reviews, something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. We do third party security reviews, internal and external. You know, code reviews, penetration testing, threat models. We do a lot of. Really, the culture has really changed at Microsoft around security and for the better. And I think that's what is leading to the great numbers we're seeing now. So
I wanted to cover that before we got to the cool demo.
That's very important. Yep.
Well, people won't believe any of the cool features if they don't believe
they're
the
worried
product
about security.
Is rock solid.
I totally understand that. I wouldn't want to either. You know, it's an important thing. So I always like to actually talk about it as well. Whenever I get up and give a talk, I always remind people that security is our number one priority, and we are going to always prioritize security ahead of features. We've done that. Now we've got a great set of features with IIS7 that will take the web server even farther. So can I show you some of those?
Absolutely. Let me just move my tripod a little bit.
I would warn you that some of this is demos that I'm presenting at the PDC here in a month or so. So anybody out there that's coming to PDC, I hope this is interesting for you, get you excited to come see some of the sessions we're doing. We've got, I think, 5 or 6 sessions slated for PDC around IIS7.
Okay.
I'm giving the overview talk, and I've been kind of putting together some demos to show off what we're up to give you a few ideas, but definitely come into the session and check it out if you want to see more, because there will be a lot more there at PDC.
Great.
One of the big things I wanted to do with IIS7 is make the web server much easier for developers to use. We want to make sure that there's a huge community around IIS, and kind of leverage some of the same abilities that ASP.NET has today and offers developers, but bring them down into the web server platform as a whole and allow developers to do some pretty powerful new things. So one of the big things I always like to start the demo off is by showing off the new delegation story with IIS7. So in the past, you probably know, I think you have a blog, for example. It runs on IIS, right?
No, I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
it's got
why not? Actually, it doesn't. I'm sorry.
We've got to get it up on IIS. We'll talk about that later.
Talk to Dave Weiner. Okay. I'll send him this video.
So one of the great things that developers often talk to us about, and administrators talk to us about this also, is the fact that IIS today is an administrator-only system to set the most simple setting like default document. You have to be a machine administrator on the box, and while that's extremely rigid in terms of security, it means that you have to be an admin on the box to do anything. It also means it's fairly inflexible. What often happens is developers are added to the administrators group on the machine just to enable them to set a few basic IIS settings.
Right.
And that's not the best security practice either, right? You really want to enable developers to do their job and allow administrators to do their job without having to escalate to administrative privileges in the box. So delegation is one of the key things we're adding to IIS7. And I'd like to show kind of how that works with config and IIS7, if I can.
Okay.
So I'm going to start off by opening up the www root directory here on my machine. This is, of course, the default directory for all content.
Now, wait a second. You're running on Longhorn. I'm sorry. Windows Vista. I got to put a quarter over.
this is a recent build of Windows Vista with IIS7. Yep.
Okay.
And right now, my content directory is empty. So I'd like to do kind of what a lot of our developers do, which is deploy the content I have into the website to bring it up. So I've got here a website that I created using a really standard web editor. You know, there's a million of them out there. All I did was throw a picture of me up on the page, spat out some verbiage about myself, did file saved as a default file, and now I'm going to go ahead and deploy it. So let's go ahead and copy it in, and it's now deployed onto my www root, the home directory for my site. And now we can bring up IE7 to look at just how cool I look in IE7. Oh, look at that. 403 forbidden, directory listing denied. You know, that's not my home page, obviously. you know, what's going on here? I deployed the content. It should just show up, right?
Yep.
Well, it turns out the web editor I used created this file right here, index.html. This file is not recognized as IIS, as a default document for my website. We only recognize default.htm, default.asp, or index.htm, or index.asp. And this is one of those files that Apache, one of our primary competitors, recognizes as default, and we don't. So that's kind of a dumb thing. Definitely should add that to our default document list. But in the past, in this scenario, I haven't been able to do anything about this. Unless I was a machine administrator, I haven't been able to add this simple document as a default document for my site. Which means if I'm hosting this site, say, at an internet service provider, I'd have to give them a call and ask them to change it, or I'd have to use one of their tools to make the change. So we wanted to improve that experience a lot. So with IIS 7, I can actually do it without being a machine administrator. I can open up this web.config file, which, if you're familiar at all with ASP.NET, it's a configuration file that lives with the content. Yep. And I can come in here and simply use one of the default documents that is already in here as a default, use it as a template to add ours index.html.
Yep.
So index.html is now in the list of default documents. Go ahead and save that change. And we come back and refresh, and there we go. There's my site. Did you see the picture of me right there?
All right.
Yep. Scientists have confirmed I am the missing link in the ape to human chain, evolutionary chain. So there we go. No, that's not me, just in case the camera doesn't do me justice, I'm sure.
Let's see.
So there we go. We just changed IIS configuration.
Yep.
Without being a machine administrator, simply by opening up that web.config and adding a simple line of text. And that changed the IIS config setting for my site and my site only. Now, that's a pretty simple feature, but it's one that allows a great deal more flexibility for developers than in the past. They no longer have to be admins to change basic IIS settings like that. At the same time, the administrator has full control over what settings are delegated. So if they don't want default document to be delegated, they can lock it down. If they don't want directory browsing to be delegated, they can lock that down. And by default, we will ship IIS 7 in a fully locked down state. So all of the config for IIS will be admin only. Okay. We now enable developers to go ahead and delegate that. Administrators to delegate that to developers. So that's a pretty simple thing, right? Let me show you another part of my site that I was putting together. There's this gallery link on it. And if I go ahead and click that, oh, we get the same error, right?
Yep.
Gallery on my site, if I go ahead and open up the content here, you'll see there's a bunch of JPEGs in here. I basically have a directory full of images that I wanted to share out as part of my site. You may have noticed around my office there's a bunch of photography. I kind of like photography, and I like to share some of those images with my audience. You know, in the past, this is another example of an IIS setting that I, as a developer, can't change unless I'm an admin on the box. Again, with IIS 7, I can go into that config file and simply change that config setting. But rather than do that in config this time, let me show you the new admin tool that's in IIS 7, because I think it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Go ahead and open it up here. You'll see the new admin tool looks quite a bit different than the existing one does for IIS. It's still got the tree view over here on the left-hand side that looks familiar to most IIS customers. But on the right, on the middle pane here, instead of seeing rows and rows of tabs when you open up a site, you see this nicely categorized view of all the admin tasks on the server. And this allows you to quickly get at the admin operation you want and manage it. This admin tool is pretty cool for a number of reasons, though. Not only does it look a lot better, but it manages the entire web platform. So not just IIS settings, but also ASP.NET,
okay,
all in one tool. Another really cool thing about it is it fully supports the delegation model I talked about earlier. So developers can connect up using the same admin tool as the machine administrator would. But when they connect up to their site, they only see their site's configuration data.
Right.
They don't see the rest of the sites on the server. Whereas the admin would see all the sites on the server and be able to manage all of those independently. Another really cool thing about this admin tool is it goes all over HTTP. So if you want to manage a site remotely across the internet, you can do it all over HTTP without opening up DCOM ports on your firewall or anything like that. So it's a pretty powerful new tool. Let's go ahead and simulate that delegation experience. I can come in here click on the default site that we're managing, and you can see one of the tasks here is connect as site administrator. That allows me to come in here and see what the site admin would see based on this current configuration. You'll notice that this page looks a little bit different, very similar, but different than the server page we were seeing earlier. So for example, there was a sites link here under server before. I don't see sites anymore because I'm now connected as the site admin, not the machine admin.
Right.
Now the thing we wanted to change was that in the gallery directory, we wanted to enable directory browsing so that my images would show up.
Mm-hmm.
So under content here, we've got directory browsing. I'll go ahead and check that and apply. And we see now the changes have been successfully saved. So let's go back to the web browser and refresh. And there we go. We get the directory listing as expected. And I use the admin tool to do it this time instead of the config file. But if we come back to our config file and open it back up, you'll notice that the admin tool actually wrote out to the same config file the configuration I just applied to it. That means whether I'm using the admin tool or the config system directly, all these config settings get persisted in the same place, and that enables actually a lot more than just delegation. It means, for example, I can take this content and x-copy it from my server here onto my hosted server, and the configuration goes with the content. I don't have to go manually reapply settings after I've published my site. Another really big thing it enables is it means if I want to scale out this site, I can publish this content into a back-end file server, for example, and I can bring up any number of web servers on the front end, all of them pointing back to that same file server on the back end, and they all read the same content and all the same configuration in one place. So if I make one change to the config file on the file server on the back end, all the front end web servers immediately get the change, and I don't have to go replicate settings across front end web servers. That's also a really big feature of IIS7. So I've kind of shown off how the new config system and admin tool work hand in hand to make IIS7 much more manageable. One of the other things I wanted to show off is the new support for managing users and roles within the admin tool. Because one of the big things we get complaints about with IIS today is it's just really hard to manage security on your website.
Yeah.
So come back into the admin tool here. You'll see underneath security, there's a new couple of tasks here, roles and users. Let's go ahead and click on roles. You'll see right now roles are disabled. Right here, there's a provider list that I can select from. This admin UI is actually a UI experience for the new role manager and membership system that's shipping as part of WIDBI. But this UI allows me to come in from my website and configure all of that through a really nice GUI experience for my website. So I've got the Access Role Provider here, SQL Role Provider, and the Windows Token Role Provider. The membership system and role manager are fully extensible as well. So if you want to have your website go against an LDAP store or an XML file that you create by hand, you can plug in new providers into the role and membership system, and then the admin tool will also surface those users and roles just as if it was a Windows account or a SQL account.
Okay.
We're going to use Access here and for my website because it's really easy to demo. I'll go ahead and enable roles using that Access provider. And there we go. We have roles enabled now. Let's go ahead and add the friends role to my site. And you'll see it's now created with no users. Let's go ahead and create a user for it. So click Add User Task, create a demo account. Of course, it lets me set a user-based question and answer so that the customer of my site can also reset their password at any time without having to contact me. Membership system fully supports that. I'll go ahead and associate that user with the friends role we created earlier, finish that out, and there we go. We now have a user and a role created for my website, all in the same admin tool. Much better experience than today.
Yeah.
You might be interested to know kind of what the admin tool did behind the scenes. If we come back to our content directory, we now see a new directory that was automatically created, app data.
Okay.
In that app data directory, there's our access file that was automatically created and populated with our users and roles.
Yep.
And if we open up web.config, you can see also here we've got role manager enabled equals true.
Got
so
it
also updated the config to enable that for me. So again, now I can copy this content and config and my users and roles from one server to another automatically.
That's the way it creates directories is different than it used to be. I remember I was a big front page guy, and it would spit all these directories and underscore dir and stuff like that all in your...
Yeah.
And it seems like this is much smarter about creating only things when you actually do something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Front page definitely create a lot of virtual directories and subdirectories underneath your site that held lots of metadata and other information. It's a much cleaner model than what front page used to do. And again, if I'm not using the access provider, I could be using the SQL role provider, for example, and I wouldn't see that updated directory. The admin tool in IIS would go against that remote SQL server and get out the users and roles over SQL. So,
very cool.
So we've done that. Now, what I want to show you next is kind of how IIS has taken the core web server to a whole new level and what it will mean for developers from that perspective.
Okay.
And then in a minute, we'll come back to this user and role we created and show you how to take advantage of that for my website.
Cool. You haven't talked about performance or anything yet.
Performance. Actually, it kind of ties in nicely to what I'm going to show now.
Okay.
Because definitely IIS 7 will be even more...
It's going to be slower, right?
Even more even more performant than IIS 6 was. IIS 6 is actually pretty much the fastest web server out there through a number of benchmarks. You can also always get into sort of the benchmark you know, game and say, well, there's highly tuned, you know, benchmark only special was actually faster. But for real world purposes, I think we can show through any number of ways that IIS is the fastest, among the fastest, if not the fastest web server out there. But we're going to make IIS 7 even faster.
Are there any third parties who do comparisons of web servers that you find are reliable? Or?
There are. I'm trying to remember. There are a couple of studies out there I could try and look up after.
Okay.
But there are like SpecWeb and other kind of industry benchmarks that are out there that you can also look up.
Okay.
Some of them are more real world than others.
Yeah.
But in any case, one of the things we're going to do to make IIS 7 much more performant, but also easier to secure, is we're going to completely modularize the web server. So
what does that mean?
So you may not realize this today, but IIS has implemented the web server core itself. So all the functionality we just saw,
yep.
So the default document and directory browsing features, and also things like our authentication support. So whether you use Anonymous or Windows authentication or basic authentication, our CGI support, for example, our ISAPI support, all of that is baked into one DLL called W3 Core DLL.
Okay.
And we took steps in IIS 6 to lock it down by default, so all those dynamic features are turned off, but they're all still there, resident in memory and on the box at all times. And that has several impacts. It means, for example, that the IIS team, if we want to innovate and add new features to the core web server, we can only do it in Windows release cycles, because it means we're revving that core DLL that ships with Windows that has to go through full test cycles and all of that. And you know, the pace of innovation is just not quick enough, not fast enough for Microsoft and Windows at this time. So we really want to enable us to be much more flexible and much easier to add new features to IIS without having to go through that full Windows release phase. Another thing it means, though, is that customers, if they want to add new features to IIS or extend IIS in some way, they have to do it through a different interface, through a different way than the IIS team does. Because we always add features to the core web server. They would always use ISAPI as an extensibility method to add a new feature. And it turns out that ISAPI was just not rich enough for a lot of customers,
right,
and not easy enough to use. And it means that the community around IIS, in terms of people that build extensions, is just pretty small, quite frankly. We want to build that up. We want to build that community up a huge deal with IIS 7. So one of the things we're doing, as a result, to fix kind of both those problems I mentioned, is we've built a brand new Win32 API that we're publishing with IIS 7. And we've ported all of the IIS features on top of that public API. So customers have the same Fidelity API that the IIS development team has, in terms of building new features on top of it. The other thing we've done...
And that ships in Windows?
Ships in Longhorn, yep.
Wow.
along with IS7.
You owe me a quarter too. The joke is, Chris, when we interviewed Chris Jones, we made him put a quarter in the jar every time he said Longhorn instead of Windows. Yeah.
I'll have to get used to that name, I guess. Another thing we've done, though, to make it much easier also to extend the Core Web Server is we've taken the existing IHTTP handler and IHTTP module interfaces that exist in ASP.NET today.
Yeah.
They're sort of the core extensibility APIs for ASP.NET, and we've hooked them into the IIS core pipeline. So that means whether you're writing C, C++ code against this new Win32 API, or you're writing C# or VB.NET, you can now extend IIS at its core and build in new features. That means, for example, you can, if you don't like the IIS directory listing module, for example, the one we just showed, you can rip out the IIS implementation and plug in your own using C#. It means that if you want to implement your own over-the-wire protocol for authentication, say you want to have basic authentication support against your own SQL Server or against your own LDAP store, you can implement that authentication method, plug it into IIS as if it was the built-in one, and go. And it's all available both over native code, C++, or managed code. So it's pretty easy to do. In fact, I want to show you that right now, if I can. First, I'll show basically the module list. We've got now, instead of that one DLL, we've got a whole list of modules. I think there's 35, something like that.
Now, what file are we looking at?
This right now is my demo file. So I'm gonna copy the default module list that's installed as part of IIS by default right now on my build. And I'm going to copy that configuration and plug it into our site's web.config file.
Okay.
So rather than inheriting the config from the default setting, I'm going to explicitly configure which modules are available for my site. What this allows me to do is I can customize IIS to my particular workload. So, for example, on my site right here, I don't use CGI. So let's get rid of the CGI module. In fact, if on my box here I don't want to ever support CGI, I can not only remove the config as we're going to do, but I can uninstall that binary and never have to worry about patching it if a security fix does happen to come out for CGI or anything else. It's just that much more secure because you're reducing your attack surface down to just what you need on the box to support the web server.
So if I take out CGI out of this list, it removes the ability for anybody to get to it?
Yep.
It basically doesn't remove the DLL.
It doesn't remove the DLL, but it removes the ability of the web server to load that DLL. You can also then go and uninstall that DLL. And in fact, in the IS7 admin experience, the setup experience, I can't show you that today, but in the setup experience, you'll actually see at that level the ability to install these as optional components. So CGI will be listed as an optional component, CGI support. And you can say, I want that or I don't want that. It'll totally
That's a huge install shift in the architecture of IIS, isn't it?
So you want a static file only web server, you can install just the binaries necessary for that, you got it. If you want to add just ASP.NET dynamic content to that, you can add just that without having to add classic ASP or without having to add CGI or anything else.
Now, do you see a performance gain? Because obviously you're taking up less memory, right?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was getting with that. We've seen up to 20+% performance improvement just by removing unnecessary modules in our current builds. Of course, we're working overall to make the baseline performance of IIS faster, but that's just yet one other way you can eke out even more performance out of the web server by taking out those unnecessary
20%
modules.
Performance improvement just by limiting your feature set.
Yep.
That's cool.
That's pretty impressive performance.
But
let's go ahead and try that out. So I've got this module list now. So the default one in my web.config. If I can come back now to our site and refresh the page just to make sure everything is looks like I might have let me go ahead and come back here. I might have copied and pasted in there. This is unexpected, actually.
Yeah.
Let's see.
This is how we know we're getting a real
This is real software. So that's working. was this was working before. Let me. Think here. Let me just try one thing, which is let's get rid of a bunch of the modules that we know we don't need. So we don't need server-side include, we don't need ISAPI, we don't need CGI or compression. Let's just get rid of all the stuff that we know we don't need and pare it down to just those four. So stack file, default doc, directory listing, and anonymous.
Okay.
And see if...
There we go.
Not sure what was there must be a module in there that is not expected. Somehow I copied the maybe I don't have the right default list or something. But
okay,
we're back and working now with just four modules. So the difference between what we had before when the site was working and now is we've just taken IIS from my website and customized it down from 35 modules down to four. So that shows off kind of how you can customize IIS for a particular workload. The next thing I want to show is how you can then use ASP.NET features, plug them into this new IIS pipeline, and use them for all types of content. So let's come back to this module list, and I'm going to add a couple more modules back in. The ones I want are these four. You'll notice the first one, Forms Authentication. This is actually an existing WIDBI module that supports forms authentication for ASP.NET content. The thing that we're doing here, though, is we're plugging that same module, existing WIDBI, into the core IIS pipeline. That means no matter what type of request it is, if it's a static file request or a CGI request, it'll first require forms authentication before that request executes. It means I can use an existing ASP.NET feature for all types of content. It's pretty powerful. I'm also plugging in the role manager and URL authorization, because I'd like to use those existing modules as well for my content. So let's go ahead and save that. Just going to refresh the page here to make sure my site's still working. In fact, it is. Good. So the next thing I want to do is configure forms authentication for my site.
Okay.
So we'll come in here to System Web, and just like I do today for ASP.NET, I'll do authentication mode equals forms. And another thing I have to do is configure authorization rules for my site. By the way, I'm doing this in config, but you can do this in the admin tool just the same.
Yeah.
It's also available in the admin tool for someone who is more familiar with the GUI experience for configuring these things. So come in authorization, say allow the friends role that we created earlier, and deny all other users that come to my site. And go ahead and close out that authorization tag. The last thing I need to do.
And where do I learn how to the language here? Or?
That the configuration I just did is actually ASP.NET config that exists today. So if you go read up on ASP.NET and configuring using web.config, you can get a huge head start on IIS 7 because it follows the same format, the same kind of syntax as available today. The last thing I need to do since we're doing forms authentication is create a form. So I'm going to create a login page here in my directory. And with ASP.NET WIDBI, this is very easy. I don't have to write any SQL code. I don't have to select user where user equals this and password equals that. I don't have to. I don't even actually have to create a login form using HTML. All I have to do is instantiate the ASP.NET login control. It automatically hooks up to the membership system and role manager that we configured earlier, finds the users, authenticates them, applies the authorization rules, and lets them through.
Okay.
So, again, I'm using sort of existing WIDBI ASP.NET features, but now I'm using them in the IIS 7 context, so for all types of content. So let's finish out this form, run at server, and ASP login run at server. Whoa, bumped my run at server. And close out that form. And now we can come back to our page and refresh the content. And even though I'm requesting a static file here, IIS now has that forms authentication module inside it, and it detected that I haven't logged in yet, so it redirected me to the login page. I can come in here and put in that user account, username, password that we created earlier. Go ahead and log in. And there we go. We have the stack file web page.
Okay.
And that's using an existing ASP.NET feature with IIS7 and using it for all types of content. So I can create a PHP site, for example,
yep.
or a ColdFusion site and use the ASP.NET membership system and login control to authenticate access to it. Pretty powerful stuff. So the next thing that I wanted to show off is how to use this extensibility to actually replace an IIS module. So I did this a while back where I looked at the gallery part of my site, and this directory listing that we've seen here is you know, pretty ugly, I'll have to yep. admit. It's looked the same since IIS 6 and 5 and 4 and
yeah, it looks like
3 and 2 and 1, I think.
Looks like a website that was built in 94 or something.
I think it is, actually. We haven't done a lot of work on directory listing and improving that. But now that I have the same extensibility support that the IIS dev team has, I can build a module myself and replace the built-in one.
Okay.
And in fact, let's go ahead. I've got that built right here in my bin directory. I'm going to go ahead and copy that into our site's home directory. So now we have a bin directory. And inside of it, you'll see there are two binaries. These are actually managed assemblies. There's a dirlist module that I implemented using C# and the IHP module interface. And then there's an image handler, which is, again, a C# written assembly that use the IHP handler interface. Okay. And I'll explain what these two assemblies do in just a minute. But the thing I want to show is I can open up this web.config file, and here's the directory listing module, the built-in IIS one.
Yep.
Let's actually get rid of it.
Okay.
And let's put in my module instead. So dirlist module is what we called it. Again, it's managed, so I gotta give it a type. Dirlist module. Dirlist. Whoa. module. So we've got that configured.
Okay.
The other thing I want to configure is my handler. So got a sample. Sample XML, so I can just copy and paste. Yeah. So there's the handler configuration. Basically, a handler, if you're not familiar with the terminology here,
yep.
a handler is a module that's configured to intercept only certain extensions.
Right.
So I've configured here all requests for .img route to my handler, and my handler will act on those. A module intercepts every request. So like the dirlist module that we configured, it'll intercept every request. It'll check and see if it's a request for a directory, and if it is, then it'll start doing its job. So go ahead and save that out, and now we can come back to our web page
yep.
and refresh, and instead of getting the default output here for directory listing, we'll get a much nicer looking one, at least I hope it looks nicer. This one actually shows the thumbnail previews of all the images in the directory. And
wait a second, you have RSS feeds?
Oh, you're getting ahead of me here. That's the next part of the demo I want to show. This is kind of a nicer HTML.
So you're going to put Flickr out of business here.
That would be fun.
No.
Flickr's a great app, actually. Yeah. I've been playing around with it myself.
I love those guys.
This is pretty cool, though, because this is a module that puts out better HTML. But like you were saying, wouldn't it be cool to actually send out the same information over XML using RSS? That way, you can imagine I can have an RSS client that points at this gallery, and every time I go ahead and publish in a new image into my gallery, I can get a notification that there's a new publishing, and I can go ahead and pull that up. So, what I did is I actually took this a step further, and like you saw, I added RSS support.
Yeah.
The way I did that is I built another handler. It's actually inside the same assembly, the image handler assembly.
Okay.
And so we can go ahead and add that handler mapping here as well to our config file.
Okay.
And it's gonna accept requests for RSS extension.
Okay.
Go ahead and save that out and refresh the page. And now you'll see here in IE7 with RSS support, the RSS button lights up.
Yep.
I can go ahead and hit that page. And there we go. The same output, but this time all in XML. And all compliant with the RSS format. So any RSS client could pull up this directory listing now and get notifications when there are new publications.
That's really cool.
So that's IIS7 extensibility. And we really hope developers enjoy that and take advantage of it and build lots of cool new features on top of IIS7 using that support.
So if some new XML thing came out tomorrow, we could build a handler to plug right in IIS7 and spit that out too?
Yep. IIS is fully customizable that way. Plug in your own RSS support for content. You could plug in your own authentication support if you want to do custom authentication. Plug in your own logging module. A lot of people want to log in sort of a different format, or they want to log to a database, or they want to log to a central file for the whole web farm. Right. You can imagine doing any of those things with a custom module you build.
So have you guys looked into how to build a blogging tool on top of IIS7, and is that easier than IIS6?
Yeah, building blogging applications is an interesting one. It's definitely a very popular thing today. ASP.NET really provides a great app platform for building those kinds of applications. But IIS7 makes it just that much easier to take advantage of those ASP.NET features for all types of content. So I think one of the demos I want to build up someday is a module that implements that kind of a blogging application. But it would sort of be a fusion between ASP.NET using the rich page framework and controls features that ASP.NET provides, along with IIS7 features, like this integrated pipeline that I'm showing off, to take advantage of some of those low-level features that only IIS can provide.
Do you have any better search functionality built into IIS7?
In terms of like content indexing and searching content?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of websites now are getting huge in terms of hundreds of thousands of pages, right? And the searches still suck. Let's just admit it.
Doesn't everybody just use Google?
Yeah, well, Steve Ballmer sure is trying to get us to use something else.
Better. MSN Search? No, actually, searching is...
But search is still a feature on everybody's website. And
definitely.
Have you guys done anything with that? Sorry.
We haven't done... There's actually a team at Microsoft that owns the search platform inside Windows as well. Actually, there's a couple of teams that do that. And they're working hard on building better search support into Longhorn Client for consumer users of the client. We're looking at that also long-term in terms of how we could expose that same catalog of information to web developers and enable them to content index their content and surface that over a web page.
Yeah.
Whether that will happen in Longhorn server or not is still to be determined, but it's definitely something on our minds and something we want to do a better job at as well.
Okay. What other features should developers look at when they first get IIS7?
So let me show you one more. I think we have time for probably one more, you think?
Okay.
That's pretty cool. A lot of times developers tell me today that IIS is this black box. Requests come in, most of the time they come out okay, but sometimes they screw up and nobody knows why. It's really, really hard to figure out what's going on inside IIS today. It's insanely hard because we really don't provide any information to developers or administrators as to what's going wrong when things go wrong. So we're doing two big things to help with that. The first thing we're doing is we're exposing for the first time internal state information about what's going on inside IIS to the developer or administrator. So you can see, for example, inside a worker process that's serving requests, what requests in real time are going on in the server, exactly which module they're in at the time you're looking at that information, how long they've been in that module, and so forth. The other thing we're doing is we're instrumenting all of our code, and we're instrumenting the entire web stack, actually, so that you can trace a request as it makes its way into IIS, up into ASP.NET, into your own page code or module code, and then back out the stack. And you can see for every step along that way where time was being spent, where errors are being thrown, and track that information at a very granular level. We're going a step further with that tracing information. We're making it also automatic. So you can configure IIS to say, if you ever see a page take longer than a minute log a detailed trace of everything that happened for that request. So you can come back later and see exactly which module or exactly which step in the execution is taking all the time. Or you can say, if you ever see an error 500 on this ASPX page or any ASP page, automatically, again, log that detailed trace log and come back to that later and see, oh, exactly what led to that 500 server 500 error. I don't have time to show, I don't think, both of those features off, but let me show the hanging one, because that's kind of fun. I'm going to go ahead in here and create an ASP page.
Okay.
Let's call this badguy.asp. It's really easy to show off a page that goes in an infinite loop with ASP. Basically, an infinite while loop will do the trick.
All right.
We'll go ahead and save that. One thing I need to do, though, is add back in a couple of modules. We took out lots of modules before, so I'm going to add in a couple modules back in, including ISAPI support, you'll see there, because classic ASP is still implemented using ISAPI. So I'll go ahead and plug those back in. And now we can come to our web page and request badguy.asp. And let's go ahead and make that request. You'll see the browser's hanging. If we come over here to Task Manager, you'll see W3WP is taking up 91-93% of the CPU. You know, the poor administrator of this box is thinking, what's going on in my server?
You just got slashed out.
Yeah. I just got slashed out. Or the developer of something, you know, screwed something up.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell with any other version of IIS.
Yeah.
With IIS7, though, I can open up this admin tool and go to my server, and under Health and Diagnostics here you see Worker Processes.
Yeah.
Go ahead and open that up. It shows all the Worker Processes running on my system right now. You can see there's only one right now, and it's at 94% CPU. Shows memory information, etc. One of the tasks is View Current Requests. Go ahead and click on that, and this shows me in real time what the current executing requests are. In this case, only one, so it's a pretty obvious which one is causing my server to hang. It's badguy.asp. It shows which module it's in. It shows the time elapsed for that request. So it gives me this detailed information. From here, I can dive in, look at that particular ASP code, find the problem. I can turn off the site and tell the developer, hey, go fix your code on this page. And until you do that, I'm not going to turn your site back on.
Can you turn off just this page?
Right now in the admin tool, you can't. But that's something we're looking at. So you could, like, say, right-click on it and say, you know, shut off this page. Don't, you know, prevent it from being requested again. And we would deny access to it or something to kind of prevent the situation from occurring again.
Right.
Because today, it's, you know, first it's really hard to figure out which request on the server is potentially hanging the box. And once you have identified it, it's just really hard to figure out what to do next, right?
Yeah.
ISIM's going to make that much better. So that's a couple of the cool demos with IIS 7.
15 minutes with IIS. Now, obviously, we've only touched a really small portion of IIS in 15 minutes. Right? Where's the best place to go and find more information or learn more about it?
There just isn't a lot of public information available in IIS 7 yet.
Okay.
PDC is really our big debut. That's why I said, if you want more information about IIS 7, come to our PDC session. So we've got an overview session. Then we've got a drill-in session on just the core server extensibility that I showed off today with that new module I built. Then we've got a second extensibility session on how to extend IIS admin tool. You can actually build your own UI inside that tool, have it in line with the IIS UI. So you can plug in your own categories and your own features into that same admin tool. You can also extend our config system. So there's a whole session on that. There's also a session for ASP.NET developers, everything you should know as an ASP.NET dev when building an app on top of IIS 7, so how to take advantage of that web.config file, things you should watch out for in terms of that integrated pipeline that I showed off using ASP.NET features inside IIS. So there's a whole session on that. We've also got a session on the Indigo Web Services integration that we're doing, something I haven't had a chance to talk about yet today. You should also come check out.
Okay.
So
we'll see you at the PDC.
All right, thanks.
We'll probably spend some more time getting more of a drill down. Thanks for spending 15 minutes with us.
It was great. Thanks for letting me.
Awesome stuff, man.
Thanks.
Thank you.